From Genesis chapter 25. If you please read with me verses 21 through 24. Genesis 25, 21 through 24. And Isaac entered, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger."
Good evening. It is good to be back in worship with you and to bring a lesson to you. You see here in the scripture reading, we see two twins, a set of twins, two brothers that were in the womb. And when knowing that there's a few twins in the audience tonight, The twins are most likely very alike. Most of the time they look alike, and most of the time they act alike, and they have pretty much the same personalities. My father was a twin, and my grandmother was a twin, and I know that they, both my father and my uncle, looked alike. And here, and they pretty much got along. They act the same in some regards, and they are, you can tell that they are brothers. And same with my grandma and her sister. So when we look at twins and we look at these two individuals, Jacob and Esau, we see two very different men. In fact, these men are very different from each other in many different ways, as we'll compare the two individuals. But Jacob chose to serve God. Esau chose to serve himself. And I titled the lesson tonight is Two Brothers, Two Lifestyles, Two Destinies. When we look at this, we're going to end up in Obadiah and going through the destinies in that. But as we go through the book of Obadiah, we'll see the destiny of these two lifestyles from these two brothers. As we look at each of Jacob, we'll look at Jacob and Esau. We'll start off with Esau. Esau lived a materialistic lifestyle. Esau was a skillful hunter, and he was a man of the field. In Genesis 25, 27, it talks about that. And we see that one day, in verse, if you want to look at 29 through 33, one day Esau came from the field and was famished and sold his birthright for stew that Jacob had made. Thus Esau despised his birthright in verse 34, at the end of verse 34. These actions of Esau proved to be complete disregard for his heritage and was living for the moment. You think of that, he was living for the moment, and how easy that can be. We are here right now, and we can just live for the moment and not think about the things that are ahead. See, he lived. He was, in some regards, I don't know how hungry he was, but I would presume that he wasn't as hungry as he said he was. We get that way here in our country, in our time. We think that, you know, we haven't eaten for a few hours, we're starved. You see, Esau lived for the moment, and in fact, he traded his birthright for his dinner. We see that he, in Hebrews chapter 12, it says in verse 16, the Hebrew writer referred to Esau as a profane person because for one morsel of food sold his birthright. And the profane person is one with no spiritual concept, whose life is that of pure materialism. The man who says, I do not want God. I am independent of God. You see, he had pride in his heart. The deception of Jacob and Rebekah in stealing the special blessings from Isaac that was supposed to be given to Esau was a turning point in their relationship. In fact, Esau vowed to kill Jacob after Isaac had passed away. And this caused Jacob to flee from them. And we look at the way that Esau lived his life. He will see this even more in chapter 26, 34 through 35 says, Esau also brought grief to Isaac and Rebekah, for he had married a foreign wife. And after he saw this displeased his father and his mother, he then went on to the daughters of the Canaanites and married. So that we see that he was purposeful in being spiteful, in being materialistic. He was going after what he wanted, not maybe what his parents desired for him, knowing that they probably raised both of their children in the same way. They ended up completely different. Esau then was the father of the Edomites. In Genesis 36, 43, it talks about that. The Edomites were lived by the same fleshly nature that their father Esau lived. They lived for food, spoil, and vengeance. They were materialistic and only lived for the moment, just like Esau. They were godless people who lived for themselves. And we see the Edomites, even though they were related, became enemies of the nation of Judah. The Edomites refused passage to the Israelites when they were coming to Palestine from the wilderness wandering. In fact, they in Numbers chapter 20, it talks about how they were coming through wandering. And if you want to just turn there, Numbers chapter 20, in verse 17, it said, it's Numbers chapter 20, verse 17. It says, please let us pass through your country. We will not pass through your fields or vineyards, nor will we drink water from your wells. We will go among the king's highways. We will not turn aside to the right hand or to the left until we have passed through your territory. Then Edom said to him, you shall not pass through my land, lest I come out against you with the sword. So the children of Israel said to him, we will go by the highway, and if we or my livestock drink any of water, then I will pay for it. Let me only pass through on foot, nothing more. Then he said, you shall not pass through. So Sodom came out against them with many men, and with strong hand. You see, here the Edomites did not even welcome their relatives to come through their land. They were selfish. They didn't want them to even come through their land at all and be around them. In fact, that it is interesting here that this is going to be their ultimate demise. The Edomites will be punished for this. The Edomites, related to them, and the Edomites were very prideful people and thought they were indestructible. But if we see later on in Numbers, we see that they ended up fearing the children of Israel. In fact, they were very fearsome of them, and when they saw that they were great in number, And we look at the Edomites, and then we look at the destiny of the Edomites. And that's where we get to Obadiah. And that's what the book of Obadiah is about. It is about the destiny of the Edomites. And we're going to look here on what it says. If you would turn to Obadiah, it's 21 verses, but it leads tells about the destiny of the Edomites. Verse 1, the vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord concerning Edom, we have heard a report from the Lord, a messenger has been sent among the nations, saying, arise and let us rise up against her for battle. Behold, I'll make small among the nations, you shall greatly be despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You will dwell in the cleft of the rock, whose habitation is high. You say into your heart, who will bring me down from the ground? When we look at the first three verses, we can see that there was going to be destruction on the Edomites. In verse 3, talks about how they were prideful. And whenever we know, reading the scriptures, pride comes before a fall, right? And here the Edomites were ones that were prideful. They lived in the mountains, and they thought they built their cities around the mountains, and they were from there. They thought, well, we are strong. We can see all around us. We're protected by the mountains, by the landscape, and they felt very confident in themselves. They had that pride in their life. And we see here that this also, in Obadiah, how their destiny comes about. Verse 4 through 10 talks about this, their destiny. It says, through you ascend as high on the edge, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, says the Lord. If thieves have come to you, if robbed by night, oh, how you'll be cut off. Would you not have stolen till they had enough? If grape gatherers had come to you, would you have left some gleaning? Oh, how Esau shall be searched out, how his hidden treasure shall be sought after. You see here that they, like I said, they set their habitation on the heights of the mountain, and they had pride in that. And we can see here that they are going to be destroyed. In fact, they're going to be completely destroyed. If you look at verse 15 says, for the day of the Lord upon all the nation is near. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your reprisal shall return on your head. For as you drank on my holy mountain, so shall the nations drink continually. Yes, they shall drink and shall swallow. And they shall be as though they have never been. You see, the Edomites were going to be completely destroyed. It would be like they were never existed, as the scripture points out here. And we look at the Edomites and their lifestyle, and their destiny is ended in total destruction. And we compare that to Jacob. And we see Jacob lived a lifestyle of righteousness, one who feared God and obeyed God. Yeah, he started off on maybe not doing some of the things that were right, deceiving his brother, taking his birthright. But at the same time, taking his blessing from Isaac, I'm sorry. But we see Jacob lived his life for God. Jacob, he lived with a belief in God. In fact, he was blessed. The same blessing that Abraham received, the same blessing that Isaac received, Jacob received also. That blessing that all the nations will be blessed through their obedience and through their seed, Jesus would come through. And we look at that, and it was because Jacob was a righteous person. He feared God and kept his commandments. Jacob was blessed by God with those promises, and also he's blessed by his father. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. In Genesis chapter 32, 28, it says, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Jacob was blessed by God. And we think of Jacob's life and how the things that he did in honor for God. He was with Laban. He was fair and did everything that Laban asked him to do. And we see that he was blessed, and he kept on being blessed. In fact, Laban didn't want him to leave because Jacob was blessed, he was blessed. And we see throughout Jacob's life, he lived a life, a righteous lifestyle before God. In fact, the nation of Israel, we come to know as the children of Israel, which Jacob's name was changed there, but it'll be the nation of God's chosen people. And that nation would follow God. And that nation would be blessed with faithful leaders like Moses and Joshua and Samuel and David. The destiny of Israel, as long as they were obedient, as long as they were faithful, they would be blessed. You see, Jacob lived a lifestyle that was obedient to God, and he was blessed for it. And the children of Israel, their destiny depended on them being and living their life the same way. God was with the nation of Israel. In captivity of Egypt, God showed his power and led his people out of bondage. In the wilderness, God was with them and protected them and made sure that all their needs were met. In the takeover of the promised land, God provided victory for them. And he only required faithfulness to his commandments. And those commandments were the Ten Commandments. They were to love God and keep his commandments. We look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, 1 through 9, how they needed to follow after God and seek him and love him with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their might. They were to love him in that way, and they were to teach that to their children, to their grandchildren, and they were to do that when they lie down and when they wake up and where they go by the wayside. They were to follow after God. This was the most important thing for the nation of Israel. And throughout time, we know what ended up happening. They fell away from God. We need to be careful when we live our life, because we too can have a lifestyle by the way we live. A lifestyle, whether it be a lifestyle of materialism, or a lifestyle of living our lives for God. You see, we have a choice between the two. Each one of us has that choice. And we look at these two lifestyles, and we look at and compare them to our lifestyles. What are we doing to secure our destiny? You see, the law of reaping and sowing comes in effect. We reap what we sow. In fact, if we reap materialism, what are we going to get? Materials, earthly things. And these earthly things will mean nothing to us when we die. But if we sow after godly things, spiritual blessings, we will reap spiritual blessings. Galatians, if you would turn to Galatians chapter 6. It talks about this. It says, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he also reaps. For he who sows in the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows of the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, while we shall reap, if we do not lose heart." Galatians here in verse 9, it talks about that we need to not grow weary. And we need to not grow weary in doing good, following after God. And we cannot grow weary of being a Christian. Yeah, things are going to happen. We're going to go through experiences that are trying at times. But we cannot grow weary. We need to stand firm. We need to live that lifestyle that follows God. In fact, the lifestyle that we live, that each one of us live, has an impact on the future. We see that Esau had an impact of the whole nation of Edom. And what ended up happening there was complete destruction. Then there's Jacob, who had an impact on the children of Israel, that they live faithful, and they were faithful. Each one of us are blessed. We're blessed because maybe some of us here are reaping the benefits of our family member who lived a faithful Christian life. I think of my grandmother who found God's word, who was brought to by my grandfather and brought the Christ and brought his word to her, and she was obedient and she was that way. She had an impact on not only my life, but my mother's and my cousins and her whole family. You see, the way we live our life has an impact on our family. And each one of us needs to realize that, and how maybe we're younger and you think, well, what impact am I going to have? Well, you're going to have impact the way you live your life from now till the time you die. You're going to have an impact on the future generations. And we are going to have either a positive impact or a negative. And by the way we live our lives depends on that impact that we can have. What impact are you making on your family, for those around you that see you and are with you? We can have a major impact on our children, on our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, by the way we live our life. The book of Obadiah is the contrast of these two brothers, which led to two nations, which led to two destinies. And as we see here from this prophecy of Obadiah, the Edomites' destiny was complete destruction. Each one of us has a choice in our final destination. We have a choice whether we live our lives for God or we don't. Whether we have a choice that we live in an eternal punishment or if we live in eternal joy. Which destiny do you choose? 2 Corinthians 5, 9 through 10 says, "Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what has done, whether good or bad." What will your destiny be? what will that judgment be like? If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian and you haven't been obedient to God, you must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You must repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And be baptized for the remission of your sins. And live faithful the rest of your life. Or maybe you're struggling tonight with sin. Maybe you're struggling and with some things that are going on in your life and you need the prayers of the church. Or maybe you need to repent of a sin. Get your life right with God. Your destiny depends on it. If we can help you in any way, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.